swing, swing, swing here.
Oh, hammer that.
Give me some of this over the triple block. Yes.
That guy's going to swing no matter where he is.
Ace, it's over.
Welcome to Over the Top, your all-access view inside BYU men's volleyball. I am Jerem Jordan alongside a man who, like Tony Stark, owned property in Malibu, Steve Vail.
Yeah, you know, I actually did. My ancestors did, and I think the Pacific Railroad stole it, but that's a story for another time.
Oh, that is a story for another day. Wow. Right? Okay. Next match against USC, we'll talk about it. Here's the show lineup. We'll recap the comeback win at number 4 Pepperdine last night in a top 5 showdown. Big win for the Cougs. Steve's wow moments of the week, 80s or 90s movie or TV show of the week. And we'll chat with middle blocker Brandon Oberender about the most unique mission call I've ever heard of and chat with Sean Olmstead. Let's get to it. BYU's 15-set win streak came to a crumbling halt in set one last night at number 4 Pepperdine, 25-20. But BYU won the next three sets and won the match. 17, 21, and 17 were the points for Pepperdine. A convincing win for BYU and great win considering that Pepperdine is a contender for the league. And in Provo in the two matches BYU won, six of the seven sets were decided by two. That was a nice win yesterday for BYU, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Pepperdine gave BYU all they could handle when they were here in town. And it was kind of crazy after losing the first. I wonder if like the panic button, you know, for BYU after losing that first set. But it's weird. The next three, they win pretty convincingly. So I'm really curious on how that happened.
It happened because of service. BYU had 10 aces, most notably three from Davide Gardini, who had 18 kills at 556. Gabby Garcia-Fernandez, 15 kills, 4 aces. He's 20 away from Taylor Sander now, by the way, for the all-time record. And BYU has mentioned it before, but they love serving at sea level. They're just better than in Provo.
Well, that's just it. When you're up here at altitude and you can bomb away as hard as you can and get that ball in, you go down to sea level and you can hit that ball literally as hard as you can and it's going to go in if you got any kind of topspin on it. So, yeah, heck yeah, it's way better down there.
Okay, BYU now 11-2 on a six-match win streak about, you know, 90 minutes or so from now, round two with Pepperdine, big match. Things are going well. Cougars up two games on UCLA in the conference standings. It's not traditional, like, games back kind of thing. It's just total wins by seeding. So 11 for BYU, 9 for UCLA, 8 for Pepperdine. BYU in a comfortable spot, expected to win the league, and right now up two games.
Yeah, I think unless something tragic happens, BYU should walk away with the conference win and get into the tournament. So that should be the case, but, you know, volleyball is volleyball, and things get crazy sometimes.
Okay, scores from around the league. A shocker last night. Beaten Stanford, meaning they hadn't won yet, 0-7, took down number 7 Grand Canyon for its first win of the year. Congrats to the Cardinal. That is a big win, and Grand Canyon now 3-5 in the league.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked that they're 3-5. They were really good when they played here at BYU. I knew we were going to see a fun match, but I had no idea how good they really were. And great job, Capono Brown, with leading the match with kills. And yeah, he went off.
Wednesday, the Lopes swept USC. Prior to that, on the road, 8 aces from Camden Gianni, by the way. Wow. Concordia Irvine currently in the middle of a 13-day break, kind of spring break time on campus. UCLA off for 10 days as well, not playing this week. USC on a 9-day break till next Friday as well. So the MPSF slate is essentially BYU and Pepperdine coming up in 90 minutes, as we mentioned, in round two between Grand Canyon and Stanford. So things looking good for the Cougars. As you look at the schedule, Steve, and you go down to you know, what's coming up, Concordia Irvine next week. USC at home for a pair the next week. UCLA on the road the next week. And the MPSF tournament seeding will come down to those matches against the Bruins, likely 1v2 for the regular season championship April 9th and 10th.
Yeah, I think BYU has shown that they're probably the best team in the league. These matches, they just need to not look past them. They just got to focus on the day-to-day and blow right through it and get to that conference.
And when you look at BYU and Pepperdine coming up again at, you know, 2 Mountain Time, 1 Pacific in Malibu, hard to beat a team 3 times. BYU's done that. Hard to beat a team 4 times. Ask the 2014 team with Stanford and beating them all 3 times, 2 in the regular season, 1 in the MPSF championship game, and then lost in the Final 4. So this will be a challenge today to try and take a 4th match from Pepperdine.
Yeah, and you know Pepperdine's going to come with a lot of different changes and looks and things to try to overcome what happened last night. I think they were kind of shocked by how that went, especially winning the first set.
Okay, much more coming up. A fascinating conversation with junior middle blocker Brandon Oberender. Later, we'll chat with Sean Olmsted ahead of another top five matchup with Pepperdine as Over the Top continues on BYU Radio. Welcome back to Over the Top. I'm Jerem Jordan with Steve Vail. When you get a two-year mission call from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that's the biggest moment of your life up to that point. You don't decide where you go or what language you might speak. It's a thrilling moment to open that letter. And in the case of Brandon Oberender, BYU junior middle blocker, that's quite possibly the most unique one we've heard of. That is among the topics in this week's Cougar Conversation with the junior middle blocker. All right, Brandon, let's start off with your name. How often does it get misspelled?
Very often. So even my dad misspelled it when I was young, but he was the one who insisted that Brandon would be spelled with an E-N instead of an O-N.
It's different, man. It's different. Yeah. And we even messed it up Saturday on the broadcast, so that's fun. Okay, and then the nickname BL. Obviously, that's for Brandon Oberender, but that can be fun too, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, freshman year we had, Brendan Sanders is on the team. And we can have a Brendan and a Brandon. So a lot of guys have initials on the team that you just go by, Devin Young, DY. So I just unfortunately had BO as my initials, and it's quick and easy, and then it just stuck.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. What are you studying?
So right now I'm in the Master's Information Systems program.
Getting a master's right now?
Yeah, so it's an integrated program, so I'll graduate next year with my master's and bachelor's at the same time.
Oh, that's awesome. So what would you like to do with that?
So I have an internship coming up this summer with the church doing cybersecurity. So that's something that I think is pretty cool to kind of just – so I'll be monitoring, like, any incoming threats to, like, the FamilySearch site. And, I mean, the church, I'm sure, has plenty of people trying to attack its sites and everything. So that's what I'll be doing. Then maybe I could do that as a career. I'm doing a web development job right now at BYU as well. But it's all sorts of things.
So there's some volleyball element to what you're going to be doing for the church, right? Where it's like you're trying to deny attacks, right? Like in the game.
Putting up a big block.
Yep, putting up a big block. Yeah, I like that. There's some ties there. That's cool. Okay, you speak Marshallese. What's that all about?
Yeah, so I got called to serve my mission in Oklahoma, Marshallese speaking.
That's the weirdest call I've ever heard in my life.
It was funny because I had peaked at my mission call before, like, I had opened it, just that, like, I had to wait for like a few days or something. So I had peaked and I just saw where I was going. So I was like, okay, Oklahoma. Like I was like, okay, maybe Spanish speaking, like if I'm lucky. And then like I opened it in front of everyone and they're like, I read Marshallese, and everyone's like, you're just joking because Oklahoma's lame and you want to make it sound cooler. But that's where, yeah. So I went to the MTC, learned Marshallese, and then when I got to Oklahoma, there's one city, Enid, Oklahoma, that has probably like 5,000 Marshallese people. So there is a branch in the state. So that's where I spent most of my time.
Last year, you hit 618, dude. It wasn't like you played in like four matches, too. Like you played in 29 sets and 55 swings, and you had a great match at Hawaii, of course. So what was it like to come in and be so effective last year and now try and keep that up?
Yeah, I think for me especially, when I get on the court, I don't think when I get on the court, I just think like if the ball gets set to me, like I don't get set very often. Like I have to put it away so that Will can keep setting me and that he trusts me. So, and it's important as a middle when middles get set, it's important to establish the middle early so that the BIC opens up that, I mean, Gabby gets one up sometimes, which is a miracle. And then maybe the middle's late to the outside. So I get in, I just try to do my job and not get blocked and just get the ball over and get some kills.
Friday night, you were 5 for 5. That was fun.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay. Tell me about, like 2 weeks ago.
So it was Thursday, actually, the day before or the day of Concordia. So I woke up Thursday and, had a sore throat and I was like, should probably get some cough drops. So I texted Blaine, our trainer, and I was like, hey, Blaine, can I grab some cough drops? He's like, sure. So he brought over some. He was like, we'll just test you just in case of COVID. So we did a rapid test and it was negative. And he checked my tonsils, and they were like a little swollen. So he left, and then like 15 minutes later, he's like, "Yeah, we're just gonna send you home. Bye." So they left for a Serban Pass at like, I don't know, 11 or 10, and Sean just called me an Uber, and I just went to the airport and then was watching the Concordia and USC games on my couch.
And you happen to be the only guy that's not bunked up with anybody else, right? Which is just crazy. You're the 15th guy that doesn't have a roommate.
It's fun for me. I mean, I like walking in and having a whole hotel room to myself.
Yeah, that's better, right? That's better. So, yeah, you end up getting tested when you come home and you're negative. So that was good. It was just like a traditional sore throat. But everyone's so sensitive, right? You just want to make sure.
Right.
You took extreme precaution with you. Boom, you have a symptom, you're gone.
Definitely. We were playing USC that week. They're a Pac-12 team. And, like, it's just the best case, just stay safe. And, I mean, yeah, it ended up working out. We didn't cancel any games, and I wasn't sick. So it ended up being fine.
There you go. In the huddle, are there ever moments where you're, like, super loose and chill and funny, like as a team or an individual that is, or are you always serious on the court?
No. For example, there was I was just watching the game from Saturday back. I was watching it yesterday, and there was one ball where their opposite hit and I completely touched it and they didn't call anything. And you guys were talking about it, like, I wonder if Costi challenges here, and he didn't. So I go back to the huddle and you could see me like laughing. It's like, I touched it, like, I don't know why they didn't call it. It was obvious to me, and we all heard it, so we were all just laughing about it. But there's times when like something funny will happen, and like you can't help but just to laugh. But you feel more comfortable laughing if you're ahead rather than if you're losing, because if something funny happens and you're losing, it's just embarrassing. We have a good time out there, but when we need to get serious, we're serious and things get done.
Are you in on the chain culture, the chain gang?
So I wanted to. So in practice, I mean, we have our north side starters, and then we have what we call the south side, those who beat up on the starters every chance that we could get in practice. And I'm Davide, Will, Gabby, Taylan even has a chain. No, but I wanted to get a chain for all of the south side members so that we could just show up to practice one day. Last year we had white headbands that we all showed up in, and then we absolutely destroyed the starters one day. So I wanted to get like $2 chains, but it just didn't happen this year.
Hey, there's still time. There's still time. Yeah. Well, awesome, Brandon. This is really fun to get to know you better. You know, good luck this week at Pepperdine. A couple of big matches. Will go a long way in determining conference seating, although BYU will host, but still, if you want to win a regular season title, you got to take care of business there. And those are some really tight matches in Provo.
Yeah, Pepperdine's a great team. They've got a lot of smart beach swings and beach players, and there'll be some great matches in Pep.
Okay, well, have fun. Good luck, and hopefully you don't have to come home this time.
Yep, for sure. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, crazy, right? Marshallese speaking in Oklahoma City, the fact that he hit 618 last year, his internship with the church, cybersecurity. This is an interesting cat.
Absolutely, yeah. And an amazing middle as well. Like, definitely at least the third option for BYU, especially how he played against Hawaii that first night last year. 10 kills, guy just amazing. Awesome player.
And if you put Brandon Obrender and Gavin Julian as the starters, I think BYU would still be pretty good. Like, I think really BYU's good. Four deep there.
Yeah, they are very deep at that position, and I think both of those guys could be starters on any other team probably in the whole league.
Okay, Steve says wow a lot during matches, so naturally, it's time for...
This is Steve's Moments of the Week.
And there were plenty this week, Steve.
Yeah, there were quite a few. You mentioned the mission. I actually went out in 91 to Sydney, Australia, my mission, and I was actually in the MTC with Sean Bradley. We went to the same mission. And his news earlier this week when he came forward with the fact that he'd been in an accident. He was on his bike, I think, and just like a block from his home and got rear-ended. And the accident that ensued.
He's paralyzed, so for those that don't know. It's very sad.
That was a horrible, a very sad, a wow moment. I was shocked and kind of taken aback by that. So don't mean to go to the negative, but I just, you know, my hat's off. Sean's such a good dude, and I wish the best for him and his family. A couple others. So BYU, after losing the first set last night, coming back and winning fairly convincingly in the next three sets, that was pretty cool. The fact that Stanford, 0-7, took down a very tough Grand Canyon team last night and swept them, in fact. Pretty crazy stuff. So, a lot of really cool, fun, wild moments this last week.
As we go to break, here's today's trivia question. Yesterday, Davide Gardini hit over 500 and had three aces. How many times does he hit those numbers at BYU? The answer after this timeout. Today's trivia question. Yesterday, Davide Gardini hit over 500 and had three aces. How many times he hit those numbers at BYU? The answer, once. His freshman year at St. Francis. In his fourth match as a Cougar, he had four aces to go with hitting 530. Same two teams today. And in fact, it's coming up in about 90 minutes. Sean Olmsted now joins us from near Malibu. Sean, first off, how's the weather? And congratulations on a big-time win.
Thank you. Thank you. No, the weather's... A little overcast today, but yesterday was beautiful. Just a beautiful day. You walked out of that gym, and I thought to myself, I think I said to one of my coaches, the view walking out of the Firestone Fieldhouse, it's like, and we recruit against this every year.
How do we get just, anybody?
Right. Yeah, it's amazing right there. It's such a beautiful campus. It's always been such an amazing place to, you know, as a volleyball player and to just go down there and compete against that program. But that view, I mean, goodness gracious. Yeah, it was unreal. Beautiful day yesterday, but it's California, so it's a little overcast, but still pretty darn nice.
And the view from winning in four must be nice as well. You actually dropped the first set, so the 15-set win streak goes out, whatever. You win the next three convincingly by 8-4 and 8. What changed after that?
You know, we just got a little bit more comfortable, and we talked to the guys as that first set as we kind of felt their momentum, and they were doing a good job getting us really out of system, and I just felt like it was a few little minor things on our end. And so we talked with the guys about just kind of weathering that storm at the moment, and the guys did a really good job. We did ask them to, you know, pick things up from the service line, which they of course did with a really, really great serving performance kind of all around from everybody. And so we felt comfortable that it was going to come, because again, I just felt like they were kind of some checkout moments on our side that you're never pleased with as a coach. You don't ever want to see those happen, but they happened and sort of happened there, and that's where that first set went.
Davide Gardini, what a performance from him. You know, hits over 500, 18 kills, had the three aces. Gabby did his thing, had 15 kills, had four aces. The two big guns showed up. And then, Sean, it was great to have Felipe Gibrito Fajeda back, 8-for-9 with no errors.
Yeah, I mean, that was really, really big for us, because I felt we've been missing a real good offensive presence in the middle, and it's been apparent that teams have been able to pick up on that and key in on that. We just haven't had much production, you know, offensively out of our middles. And that's something I think we've discussed a handful of times. So rest in Felipe over the last couple of weeks. We've pulled him out in those weekends before last weekend, where we actually rested him, and really he was limited in practice. I just felt like, we're in a little better place with him physically and health wise. So we asked Will to get him going. We'd seen that he was getting back to his physicality in practice. He wanted to get going. And so that really allowed us to kind of open things up, especially for Davide, gave us some better opportunities. And then anytime you can get production out of the middle at a high percentage, which you've got to be able to do consistently. So I still think, you know, we need more and more from Mickey. He knows that. And but I thought Will made really good decisions considering the matchups they gave us.
You said that the serving was pretty awesome, you know, second set moving forward. But why in the world did they set the middle so many times? They had 16 kills from Austin Wilmot, set him 25 times. So were they just forcing it to him, or how come they went to him so much, do you think?
Well, you've seen him. I mean, the guy's...
he's awesome. I'm not saying he's not awesome.
He was killing the ball. So that's a great coaching decision, because when you can get the middle going again, it really causes...
It opens up the pins for sure.
It opens up the pins, but he's killing every ball, and that's something we're focusing on. It's really, really, we just let him go a little too much, and he was getting kills all over the place. And yeah, at the end of the match, 25 attempts. I mean, that was ridiculous. He had the most attempts on a team. I don't know if I've ever seen that in a different match. I really don't think I have, when you consider the opposites and the outsides. You've got your middle leading the attempt. So
yeah, that's rare for sure.
You know, if you remember, I don't know if you guys recall, but we recall on the second night in Provo against these guys, that's exactly what they did. So obviously that's something that we've got to tidy up, and we've got to be better helping on the quick and being able to get to the outsides, because they went to the quick, pretty fast and hard that second night in Provo, and they did it again with Wilmot, and he was killing the ball. So, you know, they kept feeding them. They were forcing it in, but not at this crazy location. So they just got him going in his contact point. He was feeling it pretty good through most of the afternoon.
We're talking with Sean Olmsted as BYU prepares for Pepperdine round two today, coming up in about 90 minutes. Sean, six-match win streak. Congratulations on that. The longest win streak in the league right now is BYU at that. Then it's Stanford, and then everyone else is lost, sitting on a loss, which Stanford takes down Grand Canyon. That's crazy. And gets their first win. Congrats to the Cardinal. And now BYU's up two games on UCLA, three games on Pepperdine in the league. Another top five matchup, big one coming up. What was the decision by the league to go with just total wins for the tournament seeding? Because that seems really interesting given everything that's going on. I would think that win percentage would be considered, but total wins is an interesting way to do it.
Well, you have to look at no. I understand that. That's a good question, but it was to really kind of dangle. I don't know if this is the right words, but really encourage us to play as many matches as we can towards working towards the NCAA tournament. And you know, you go win percentage. You know, what happens if a team goes out and wins their first four matches? And then all these different scenarios with COVID, and now that team's, you know, I know realistically this probably wouldn't have happened, but now that team's 4-0, and they're going to go be the number one seed in the MPSF tournament. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you're right. That's weird.
We've seen crazier things this year, and so that was brought up in the discussion. You know, what happens if that happens? A team gets locked down 2 weeks, and maybe they get out of quarantine, and it wasn't any positives, but it was just the exposure, and then what happens if the school gets locked down or another athlete? I mean, that really, you know, in today's with what we're dealing with, that could have happened, you know? And so now, like I said, you've got that team. So it was really to just really encourage teams to get playing and also play as a conference to agree to, hey, let's play as much as we can. Let's show everybody else that we're willing to get playing as quick as we can. We're willing to play as many matches as we can during this time. And let's encourage that, and let's reward that. And so that's how we looked at it. And when you get down to it, you know, maybe it wasn't four matches, you're 4-0, but yeah, maybe you're 7 or 8-0, and then now you get shut down for a month and a half, and you're not playing. But you're the number one seed.
Well, if you're 8-0, you're going to shut yourself down. I have COVID, we're the number one seed.
Steve,
boom.
The funny thing is that was brought up. Now I don't. Come on, I really don't. I can't imagine a coach would ever do that, but man,
no.
I've seen Stranger Things, you know.
Yeah, but the temptation would be there, that's for sure.
Stranger Things, big fan.
Yeah, so that's what went into it all, and I like it. I encourage teams to play, to get experience, and also to build resumes to be able to go into the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, absolutely. Okay, let's wrap with this. Round two with Pepperdine, top five matchup, number two BYU, number four Pepperdine. You won yesterday, but that doesn't mean anything for today, right? You got to get after it and get another win. That would be a big win if you can do it. What adjustments do you need to make, if any?
No, I mean, we've got to make adjustments. And we had film up here at 9 o'clock. We started with the team and brought them in here, and I still think there's things we can improve upon. We talked a bunch about you know, them going to the middle and, you know, some defensive positioning and different things there. But, you know, us being, you know, not just taking this match as, hey, it's good to come out and get one out of from these guys on the road. That's a great weekend. We really just talked to the guys about us and what we're building and working towards and the importance of being able to rebound and come back. You know, at the end of that match, I told them, hey, in 22 hours, less than a day, we're back in here at the start of another match that we've got to be competitive in and continue to just work on ourselves. And that's what's most important right now for our group.
Okay, well, congratulations on the win last night and yesterday afternoon. Good luck on the match today and another top five matchup.
All right. Thanks, guys, as always. Thanks.
Okay, we
awesome.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean Olmsted, head coach of the BYU Cougars. Time now for the 80s and 90s TV show or movie reference of the week. What do you recommend, Steve Vail?
You know, I kind of mentioned it a little bit last week. There were two very early on in his career, two movies from Tom Cruise. In fact, one of them, his name is Steve Randall. There's some big-time movie buffs out there. They might know the movie just from that.
You but, Steve Homer.
Yeah, right? Always. The Outsiders, he was a supporting role in that, but that's one of my all-time favorites. A total great, great movie from, I think, 81. Ooh. And the other one was Taps, I think his first actual movie that he did. Yeah, man. David Sean was his name, and, man, he just stole every scene in that movie. It starts off really slow, but that is just a total classic. I got PG even from 81.
Oh, look
one
at you.
One of the best.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, that'll do it for us. We'll be back every Saturday throughout the season. Saturdays, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific here on BYU Radio and on demand on the BYU Radio app. For Brandon Oberender, Sean Olmsted, producer Braden Flint, and Steve Vail, I'm Jerem Jordan. You've just gone over the top.